Hello and welcome to a new episode of First Talk Compliance, where we dive deep into the pressing issues shaping the healthcare industry. I'm your host, Kevin Shimura, CEO of Panacea Healthcare Solutions. In this episode, I'm joined by Stacy Pereira, Executive Director of Coding and Clinical Services in Panacea's KA Consulting Division. Today, we're talking about the two-midnight rule, particularly in light of CMS's recent clarifications on the subject. You'll hear Stacy's expert insights on possible financial impacts of the rule's enforcement, the potential challenges involved for hospitals seeking to apply the rule correctly, the pitfalls of overuse and underuse of observation status, along with some takeaways and other questions raised during Panacea's recent webinar on the two-midnight rule. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Stacy, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you.
Glad to be here.
So, Stacy, we're here today to do a little recap, really companion piece, I would say, on what can only be described as a highly successful webinar that you conducted on some of the complexities and changes with the two-midnight rule. You did that with George Kelly, who isn't joining us today, but that's okay. You were the star of the show. I have to tell you that when you and George came to me to pitch me on doing a webinar on this topic, I was a little skeptical, largely because, you know, two-midnight rule just celebrated its 10th birthday. In where I was living, it just felt like it was mature, settled business. We all knew what we needed to do. And I have to tell you that, you know, first of all, your webinar opened my eyes to some things I didn't know. And the industry responded as well, because it was a very well attended, got great feedback, lots of follow up questions that came out of it. So the industry itself very engaged on this topic. And I was delighted to see that. So first, congratulations on a successful first webinar at Panacea. You did an amazing job. So I wanted to just cover a few kind of not additional topics, but maybe dive into a couple that came out. And so I had just a few things I wanted to go over with you and get some deeper sort of your opinions on a few things. And one of the overarching themes that came out to me during the webinar was that fee-for-service Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans are following the two-midnight rule differently. You guys hit that throughout, right up front and throughout. You know, it's not uncommon for billing and other revenue cycle procedures to be different based on who the payer is or what type of payer it is. But in this case, I think it's a little bit unique that what you have are two different types of payers, a managed care and a fee-for-service, that should be following the exact same rule. Do I have that correct? Should they be following the rule the same? And if they're not, what kind of complexities is that causing for everybody?
Yes. They should be both following the same, you know, the two-midnight rule the same. And they should have been doing this from the get-go, from inception of this rule. But for some reason, the managed care plans thought that this didn't apply to them. The complexities that this can cause is cases that should be being approved as inpatient are not. And it's really causing problems really for the patient. Because you have to remember there's deductibles and all sorts of other things that are involved here that impacts the patients. So I think that's really things that need to be considered.
Yeah, that's something that I have to say in my now 30 years of revenue cycle, mostly patient accounting. So you're a little behind the patient care. It's interesting to consider the impact on the patient. You know, we're often just worried about getting a claim paid after the fact and the care has been delivered. But there is a financial impact, and in theory, potentially a core, you know, a care related decisions that may be made with that. So and I would assume the complexities probably lead to a lot of denials. I know that was a theme in the webinar, and denials are a fact of life. We certainly don't need new ways to deny. I kind of felt like I was sort of taking away this, the imagery I had of it was CMS kind of found the two midnight rule in the back of their little junk drawer that we all have in our kitchen and said, hey, this is a useful tool. Let's dust it off and bring it out. Because during the beginning of the webinar, you and George kind of went through, and I'll present these back to you in non-chronological order. First, the 2024 audit that CMS conducted, where they really identified that they could be doing a better job identifying potential compliance issues that that hospitals may be having, and suggesting that they just need better tools such as data aggregation and AI and those types of things. And then second, there was a clarification issued by CMS in 2023 that Medicare Advantage plans must and really should have always been following the two midnight rule. So if there's a renewed interest by CMS in both their application of the two midnight rule for fee-for-service Medicare and reinforcing to Medicare Advantage plans that they also need to be following the two midnight rule, Stace, in your professional opinion, and you're very qualified in this area, what do you think are going to be some of the big challenges that hospitals are going to face going forward with that sort of, as I called it, procedural dichotomy?
So I think on the fee-for-service side, I think what the real issues are going to be is actually they're going to be inundating hospitals, providers with requests for records and all kinds of things that really, again, might not be necessary because these people are in fact meeting the two midnight rule, but they think that they found something and they really haven't. So on the managed care side, again, I think the problem is going to be that even though they think they've made a clarification, I don't think, in fact, they have. I don't think they're off better off anywhere, providers on that side, where they were before, because they still say that they're allowed to use pre-authorization and ongoing concurrent management. So maybe they'll let them in on the front end, but either they'll do, a concurrent, or I should say a pre-payment audit, or they will let it get paid and they'll do on the back end. Again, they're going to be just denying now for medical necessity. They'll managed cares don't want to pay. So they're looking for ways to not do that. So unfortunately, I don't know if the clarification on the MA side really has helped providers. I guess, time will tell, so to speak.
Yes, yes. Clear as mud, right? As is often the case. Yeah. I agree, the commercial payers, which are what Medicare Advantage plans ultimately are, just administering the Medicare program, they have a vast array of tools to pay or not pay, deny, recap, downgrade. And they use every tool in their toolbox to do that. Where fee for service Medicare is perhaps a little bit more straightforward, but again, probably adding to the complexity of two different patients with the same symptoms, same plan for care, two different payers, two different ways that the claims need to be handled. That's a common theme in all of healthcare, but Medicare is still the largest payer, and there's a lot of people moving into Medicare Advantage plans over the last decade. So this is not something that's likely to self-resolve. Interesting that 10 years later, two midnight rule comes, it never went away, but coming back as a tool for compliance and an important one, and I understand that, but certainly one that has not been top of mind for everybody over the last few years. And we're starting to see much more thought leadership on this, articles and case studies and studies that are out there that are showing that this is becoming an issue. In fact, we will, our webinar is probably a good example of that. And one of the observations that you had in there that I thought was really interesting and always topical was pitfalls of the use, underuse, overuse of observation status. In a long stay observation cases, 48 hours plus, could or should be reviewed, you were saying, to potentially be billed as inpatient. And that can carry a significant financial impact to the positive, as long as you're in compliance. And you gave some great examples of that. You've done a lot of work in this area, Stace. For those people who are listening today or intend to go back and watch the webinar or watch it again, what do you think their big takeaway should be about the pitfalls of the use or overuse, underuse of observation status?
So again, if a patient, you need to have case management in there looking, especially when you're getting close to that 48-hour mark. If you can get a patient to meet medical necessity for inpatient status, they should be inpatient. Don't be afraid to make a patient inpatient. That's one of the things I think I see is people get gun shy because they're afraid, of denials on the back end. But again, especially because in terms of the 2-midnight rule, Medicare says if the doctor believes that they're supposed to be an inpatient, that they're going to be receiving 2 midnights of care, and they should be an inpatient. So if the doctor has documented that and the medical necessity is there for that inpatient stay, they should be an inpatient. So I think that's the important thing to note here is, even if, again, the patient doesn't happen to stay those 2 midnights, as long as there is a reason why they did not stay at those 2 midnights, the patient is an inpatient. So it's okay that they didn't stay for those 2 midnights. But I think that's the key here is sometimes people are nervous about that and they let patients linger in there. And you have to remember, after 48 hours, Medicare does not pay for observation. So you want to be careful about that. I think those are the things that you really need to watch for.
Yeah, agreed. My experience with this is nowhere near yours, but observation can make providers nervous almost, right? The use of it or getting an admit order and making a patient an inpatient, it causes a little bit of heartburn, and it really shouldn't. But unfortunately, that's the system that we've set up. So this has all been great. So the part that I enjoyed the most about the webinar, and maybe this is just because I'm an old operator, at my very heart. Towards the end, you and George covered discussing a multi-step program to put in place to navigate the complexities presented by the 2-midnight rule, and I thought it was practical and it was really important. So I've got a loaded question for you, but for those people who haven't had an opportunity to view the webinar yet, I'll just go over what the steps were. First, it was know your data, really, to get to know your data, understand what you have. You've got tons of it. Go out, understand it, do an initial assessment and try to identify any shortfalls you have. And really, just understanding the data is one step, but really dive into it, understand what decisions were made to get to each claim where it was. Decide what needs to be changed and implement those changes, right? That's a great step. That's always probably the hardest step. And then do a follow-up assessment. Did it work, right? How are we doing? And then perform ongoing monitoring. And theoretically, those two maybe go hand in hand. But things often go back to the way they were. So implementing change without follow-up assessment and ongoing monitoring doesn't always prove to be the most successful. So Stace, here's my loaded question to you. If you had to pick just one of those things, right? If I'm a provider with limited time and resources, and I'm going to do it all, but I can only do some of it right now, what do you think of those steps is the most critical, most important? Where should their focus be right now?
So I think if I had to pick one, I would do, definitely do the initial assessment to identify your shortfalls. And that's pretty easily done, actually, because all you really need to do is find 0 and 1 day, your short stays, and do a review on those. And you're making sure that you're not only meeting the requirements of the 2-midnight rule, but that you're also meeting medical necessity for inpatient. And I think if you really just start there, you'll be amazed at what you find. And I think you can find some easy things to quickly identify and, correct and could see improvements, pretty rapidly. And I think that would be something that could be done, relatively easy.
So a loaded follow-up question. Do you think that a typical hospital, standalone hospital or health system has the ability to do a self-assessment, meaning, to take your existing staff and assess their own, or would you recommend an outside agency?
I would, as an answer to that loaded question, I would say, honestly, I think it would be best to get outside opinion, only because I've been doing this a really long time. And unfortunately, a lot of times they like to get the expert's opinion. And even though we might be saying sometimes the same things, people internally like to hear it from the experts. So, and really, from a compliance perspective, I think it's always good to get an outside opinion. It's good to have that. And it shows that you're kind of doing due diligence and making sure that, that they're doing the right thing, I think. So that would be my answer.
Yeah, I guess I could have asked that better by just saying, why do you think it's important to, to turn to the outside for help in one of these things? So, but excellent answer. And this will not be an issue that's going away anytime soon. It will only increase in its complexity. Payers will, especially the Medicare Advantage plans, will discover new tactics, new ways to impose a rule that is to their benefit. They will stay ahead of the curve, and it's hard for providers to stay with them. And so we'll keep putting out thought leadership in this area, giving guidance to people, and we're here to help if anybody needs it. Stacy, I'll wrap with that. Thank you very much. This was great. Congratulations on a successful webinar with your partner, George. Welcome to the Panacea family. And for those of you that are listening, we watch out for more of these in the future, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. To everyone tuning in to First Talk Compliance, thank you for joining us for our conversation today. I want to extend my sincere thanks to Stacy for coming on our show and discussing this timely topic. If you have any questions or want to continue the conversation, please visit Panacea's website or reach out to us on social media. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking episodes on First Talk Compliance. Until next time, take care and stay informed.